Thanks for joining us here at AG Kolkata. We are the church with the open arms and we serve in the city of joy, Kolkata. It is our desire to reach out to those in need and to be instruments of effective change in a hurting world. If you like to learn more about us, you can simply go to www.agkolkata.org. We hope that you'll enjoy today's message.
Would you believe it? It's 2020 and we have already finished 5 days. I mean, it's just 360 days for 2021. And what we are discovering in the social media world is that almost every day of the 365 days allotted to us, there's a celebration attached to it. 20, 30 years ago, it was just Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Independence Day, Republic Day, Valentine's Day got added a few decades later. But now, every day there's almost something happening. All of them are great, no, nothing wrong with them. We have Doctor's Day, Grandparents' Day, Women's Day, and the men said we also need a day, Men's Day. Biker's Day, Teacher's Day, and graciously someone somewhere decided to have a Pastor's Day also. We pastors also have been given a day. Oh, so kind of you. But recently I discovered this week that January 19th is another special day. It's going to be honored as, guess what? Happy Quitter's Day. Happy Quitter's Day. What exactly is this? January 1st of each year, people make great resolutions for a grander, significant life. Based on a survey of 2,000 people, the top few New Year resolutions are in these categories. What are the categories? 26% feel they need to learn a new skill. 21% wants to quit smoking. 17% say, you know what, I want to read more. 16% said, we want to find another job. 15% said, we want to drink less alcohol. That's good. 13% said, we want to spend more time with our family and friends. Then there are some real unique ones. I mean, I found the real cool ones, but these are the few. One said, get your photo taken in 5 interesting places of the world. One of them said, I want to take a picture inside an igloo. Isn't that crazy? Interesting. Another unique one was, learn something that you never learned as a child. Another one said, try a new food each week. Once a week. That's good. I want to hang out with that person. Based on a global average, January 19th is when most of them will quit with their New Year resolutions. That's why it's called Happy Quitter's Day. Incidentally, January 19th, 2007 was the first time I met my wife. That's when I quit running my life on my own terms. The point is this, a start of a new year, we all have good intentions of setting up good habits, writing down neat, cool resolutions. We all want to be better people. I mean, I pass the mic around, none of you will say, no, this year I really want to get bad. I want to get horrible, I want to treat people badly. No, we all want to be slightly better than what we were the previous year. And we feel, you know what, the secret to a happy, that's a focus. Happy New Year. The secret to that is if I can set up some new resolutions, I'll be a happier person. In a moment, we'll talk about how that looks like. But below the surface, even before we get into this Happy New Year part with all the great resolutions, there are two commitments I'm challenging all of us to make. These two commitments will be the secret to actually helping us find ways to form good habits in a new year. What are these two commitments? Firstly, an unshakable hope in God. Can you tell that to your neighbor? Unshakable hope in God. At the start of 2020, I don't know where you are in your personal life. I don't know if you feel like Job in Job chapter 1. Lost everything, shattered. But my prayer is that your unshakable hope in God will make you stand strong. Like Job in Job 1, 20 and 21. At this, the Bible says, Job got up, tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord gave," let's read that together, "the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Amen. At the start of 2020, I don't know if you feel like Mary in Luke chapter 1. She met an angel of the Lord, fearful, scared, confused at this impossible task which has been given to her. But it was this unshakable hope in God which made her say in Luke 1:38, and these were the words, I pray this become the words for you this year. "I am the Lord's servant," the Lord, Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." At the start of 2020, I don't know if you feel like Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, overwhelmed, trembling, frightened at a new task. Maybe it's a new job you're supposed to take up, or something new you're supposed to do, and you're saying, "You know what, I don't know how to get this done." But I pray like Joshua, it will be this unshakable hope in God will make you stand like Joshua in chapter 3, verse 5, when he told the people, "Consecrate yourself." Let's read that together. "Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." This hope, the hope within we have, is what drives everything we are and we are called to do. I don't know how many of us ever played with a magnifying glass when we were children. We use magnifying. This is a pretty good one, pretty big one. But we have the smaller ones, right? And when we were in school, we had the small ones. And what we were taught to do, take a piece of paper, look under the sun, get the correct reflection, and the paper will burn up. And I did that for hours. Nothing happened. My brother was good at it. You need to really focus. Magnify your focus on where you want the light to fall, and it will definitely, something good will happen, something will burn up. The reason I'm sharing that with you is what you magnify will drive your life. Whatever you magnify will drive your life, regardless of the storms around you and how big they look. The more you focus and magnify your thoughts on the living God, and you have this unshakable hope in God, everything else becomes smaller and less important. So my challenge to us is, this unshakable hope in God starts with letting God become big in your life. The bigger he gets, everything else will fall in place. So first commitment, an unshakable hope in God. Second commitment is an insatiable hunger for God's mission. Can you tell that to your neighbor? Insatiable hunger for God's mission. Everything that we do, you're a homemaker in your home, you're a branch manager in your bank, school teacher with your students, you're a college student sitting in your college canteen. Maybe you're a pastor as we serve in our pastoral roles. Whatever we do, what is the mission of our lives? It's not to fulfill our life's mission, or how we can be great, or how we can become the most successful, or achieve our life's goals. We are called to be like Abraham. Genesis 12, 1 to 3, the Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you And whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all peoples, let's read that last part together. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow. What is Abraham's insatiable hunger? His hunger was, whatever I do, wherever I am, whoever I will be, it is with one desire, I want to fulfill God's mission. I don't know if Abraham was a singer, but if he could sing like Chris Tomlin, these were the words he would sing. He would sing, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. When you move, I will move. I will follow you. Who you love, I will love. How you serve, I will serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Wow. Is that the passion of your life? Insatiable hunger that I am on God's mission. I may be working in this office, but I'm working. My mission is to follow God. That's why in the month of December, just over a period of 14 days, in over 70 care group celebrations, we had 3,282 people come into different homes across the city. Does that require a celebration? Yes. Hallelujah. How did it happen? And out of this number, 3,200 plus people, 1,200 new people who heard the message of Christmas for the first time. Wow. All because many of you, care group leaders, hosts, associate leaders, care group members, you all got together across homes. You all did everything possible. Met on rooftops, hired entire parks, did everything possible because you had this insatiable hunger for God's mission. Wow. And I pray that's what will drive you in 2020. I mean, Mr. Naska, the CEO of our mission, was telling me this just this last few days, seeing the intense cold in the city and thinking of the poor people on the streets, they distributed, I don't know the exact numbers, a huge number of blankets for the poor people on the street. What are we doing? A hunger for God's mission. Everything that we do, our feeding program, the school, all of it, is with one desire. We want to fulfill God's mission in our city. That's wonderful. What are the two commitments? First, unshakable hope in God. Second, insatiable hunger for God's mission. Both of which must lead to where my heart of my message is this morning, is developing personal habits for full life. Developing personal habits for full life. John 10:10, let's read it together. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The master stroke of the devil is to steal, kill, destroy your full life. How does he do it? By making us lead a distracted life. Develop bad habits that sucks out the life out of us. But you know what Jesus promises us? He promises us a real and satisfying life better than we have ever imagined. If many of you have not figured that out already, this is a Pentecostal church. The Assembly of God Church is a Pentecostal church. And we, in a Pentecostal church, we love to have free worship. Everything is free. We do things freely, and sometimes we feel, you know what, the only thing to help us be successful in life is if you read the Bible daily and pray daily, everything else will follow. And we are very disciplined in our prayer life, very disciplined in our Bible reading, and that's good. That is the foundation of everything else we do. And we are pretty miserable in other areas of our life. But I'm challenging us that we need to have wholesome habits in all areas of our life. Yes, prayer and Bible reading is the foundation that springboards all of those wholesome habits. For example, last year, a young professional who worships with us right here, he's a school teacher. I do not want to mention his name. He'll get embarrassed. This is what he said. He said, 2019, Pastor, my goal was to read 100 books. Read 100 books in 1 year. Last week when I met him, he said, he reported to me with some amount of sadness. He said, Pastor, I read only 37 books. I said, wow, 37 books is more books than some people read in an entire decade. That's very good. I mean, some people have not even read 37 in their entire lives. If you include comics and all, that might count. One of the richest people in the world, Bill Gates, says he practices 4 things daily that helps him as a person. What are those 4 things? Follow through. Firstly, follow through on your commitments. Second, have a mindset of giving. Third, would you believe this is what he said? Treat your body like a sacred temple. 4, put family first. Interesting. This comes from Bill Gates, so it must be valid. This last week, my wife showed me this interesting article which gives you 10 questions to ask yourself in the beginning of the new year. Now, these are top-notch quality 10 questions. And these 10 questions we made into a graphic. It's available on our church website. You can download it from our Facebook page. It's up there. Let me read these questions for you. Interesting, important questions. First one, what's one thing you can do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? Second, what's an impossible prayer you can pray? What's the most important thing you could do to improve your family life? 4, in which spiritual discipline do you most want to make progress this year? What's the single biggest time waster in your life and how can you redeem the time? What's the most helpful new way you could strengthen your church? For whose life change or salvation will you pray most fervently this year? What's the most important way by God's grace you will try to make this year different from last? What's one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? What single thing can you plan to do this year that will matter most in 10 years, in eternity? Aren't these great questions? Now, the problem with these 10 questions is this. We look at it and say, cool question, yeah, very good. And we take pictures, we download it, we share it with our friends. We think our duty is done for life. The only way these questions will mean anything is if this week, I'm challenging you this week, right at the beginning of this year, take just half an hour to meet at least 2 people, or even if you meet 1 person, sit with them and share your responses to these 10 questions. Talk about it, discuss it. And say, well, you know what, this is what I think I will do. What's one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? I think I'm going to pray from 7 in the morning to 7:30. Okay, that's good. That's a good start. You know what, unless we get specific about it, it's not going to help us. But for today morning, as I bring this message to a close, I want to focus on 2 specific practical areas which I feel would be important for us in 2020 to experience full time. 2 specific habits. Now you may wonder, these 2 habits are so basic, Pastor. I mean, really, Sunday morning you want to talk about these 2 habits? Yeah, really, I want to talk about it. First is the habit of valuing time. Can you tell that to your neighbor? Habit of valuing time. Now this seems like a very minuscule, small habit which doesn't have any consequence on our professional or personal life. But I feel for most of us, this tiny habit could be the biggest factor to define us from success and failure. For some people, the word time means procrastination. So that's what it means. If a job has to be done tomorrow by 6 p.m., that's tomorrow, Monday, by 6 p.m., you are mentally plan to start the process day after tomorrow, Tuesday. And you think, you know what? Tuesday, I will request for an extension that you are working on it and submit it by Wednesday. 2 days later. So the problem is your boss, your colleagues, your friends cannot seem to depend on you because you never seem to deliver your projects on time. You're always late. For many others, the word time means running late. I know we live in India, and IST for us stands for brilliant. For 60, what is it? How many years since our independence? We have made it a national joke that we are IST, Indian Stretchable Time. So if we are to reach a place at 5 p.m., means we leave our home at 5:15. And we tell our person, I'm on the way, just got into the auto. And we reach by 5:45. And we reach at 5:45, we are very gracious. I'm so sorry. And in India, it seems to work because at 5:45, no one has come. But you know what? Let's change the trend, at least amongst us this year. For another group, the word time means becoming a time waster. Waste your time and waste other people's time. This is very popular in Bengal and especially in Kolkata. Go to any office in Kolkata. You'll hear these golden words. Let's go for tea. Let's go for tea sounds good once a day, but not once every hour. Sit and think of the last 5 days of 2020. Have you wasted your time? Have you wasted other people's time? So I'm challenging us as we start this year, let's change the game. Let's do it differently. If your problem is procrastination, try to submit a project before time. Surprise your boss. Said, is it really you on the other side? Change the game. Running late to reach everywhere you go 10 minutes early. In some countries, being on time is actually late. Change the game in becoming a time waster. Next 7 days, you know what? Refuse to waste even a minute. Do everything which is fruitful, profitable for yourself and for others. How many of us use an Apple product? iPhone, iPad, okay. I mean, good. How many of you have Apples at least once a day? That's good enough. If you have neither, that's fine. But Apple CEO, Tim Cook, would you guess his schedule for a day? This is how his daily schedule looks like. Sleeps at 8:45 p.m. to help him get 7 hours of sleep. He wakes up at 3:45 a.m. Once he is up, he gets to work reading through some of the 700 to 800 emails he gets every day. Wow. 5 a.m., he goes to the gym. We just started our first dream at that time. In his free time, he is riding his bicycle during his free time. This is how one of the busiest people in the world you can imagine, he runs his daily life. How about our lives? So change the game when it comes to the habit of valuing time. Another area I'm going to talk about is the habit of, and this seems like a very strange area once again, the habit of controlling your digital life. Now, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have bothered to bring up this topic, but today, at the start of 2020, our world has changed dramatically. I read a book recently called Future Minds by Richard Watson. This is his analysis. Now, this book was written in 2010, but it's so valid now. And some of the stats which he said in 2010, you can just double it. This is what he said. Children as young as 5 are spending up to 8 hours a day in front of screens. The average teen sends as many as 2,000 texts a month. I think it must be now 2,000 texts a day. Machines are competing with minds for employment. Soon they will compete for our affection. Designers have recently unveiled the world's first childcare robot. We are rocketing into the digital age at breakneck speed. A culture of rapid response with no time for reflection or focus. Losing the ability to think in a deep, creative way, we are in danger of raising a new generation. Listen to this. There are plenty of answers, but few good questions. Welcome to the screenagers. He talks about extreme time in digital space, be it on phone, screen, reduces your productivity in other areas of your life. Too much screen time robs you of creative thinking. This is what he said again. Deep thinking like this can't be done in a hurry or an environment full of interruptions or hyperlinks. It can't be done in 140 characters. It can't be done when you are in multitasking mayhem. What happens to the quality of our thinking when we never truly sit still or completely switch off? Modern life is indeed changing the quality of our thinking. But perhaps the clarity to see this only comes with a certain distance or detachment, like when you're sitting quietly to read a book. And great people across the globe have discovered the ability of controlling their digital life. The Silicon Valley of the world, the IT hub of the world, the best IT products which are produced globally in the United States, Silicon Valley parents, the very guys who are making all the tech stuff, now they become parents. And you know what they are doing? They are raising their kids tech-free. They are saying no mobiles at dinner table. Wow. The very stuff they created. They are not giving their kids mobile phones of their own till their age of 14. Simon Sinek, a well-known motivational speaker and author, he talks about this habit, one habit of controlling your digital life. I want you to watch the short 2-minute video.
We have a responsibility as marketers to help our clients use technology to bring people together. We have a responsibility as companies to offer the people who work in our companies a sense that we are helping them build their confidence, that we're helping them overcome their addictions, that we're going to teach them patience, and we're going to teach them how to build strong personal relationships. We don't have a choice. We have a higher burden upon us. And there's so many little things that we can do that we are failing horribly at that are so easy. Let me show you one. Can I borrow someone's phone, please? Anyone? Thank you. Okay, there is a subconscious reaction to these devices when we use them. Okay? What if I were to hold my phone while I'm talking to you? I'm not checking it, it's not buzzing, it's not beeping. I'm nothing. I'm just holding it. Do you feel at this moment that you are the most important thing to me right now? No, you do not. Because there is a subconscious reaction we have to the device. When it is out, it makes the people around us feel that they are less important. So when we're walking down the halls in our offices and somebody says, hey, boss, can I ask you a question? You go, sure, what's on your mind? We've just told them they're not that important. Or we can go, sure, what's on your mind? And if you don't have a pocket, find a shelf, put it on the shelf, come back and say, sure, what's on your mind? When we show up to a meeting or a lunch or a dinner with our colleagues, our clients, or our friends, or our families, and we put the phone on the table, we have announced to everyone in the room that they are not that important to us. And by the way, putting the phone upside down is not more polite. My favorite one is in the meeting or at a lunch with someone that the phone will ring and the caller ID will pop up and they will go, I'm not going to get it. Oh, so magnanimous. Oh, I'm lucky to eat with you today. Or they could just put the damn thing away. You can tell how addicted we are. When somebody pulls out their phone when you're with them, how uncomfortable does that make us feel? You're walking down the street with someone, they pull their phone out. We feel stupid, so what do? We pull our phones out. We're so addicted. Somebody goes to the bathroom when we're at dinner, and what do we have to sit there by ourselves? God forbid we should look around the room for 5 minutes. We pull our phones out. Meetings, awful. What do we do when a meeting happens, right? Everybody's sitting waiting for the meeting to start. Bob's running a few minutes late. Bob's here? Okay, start the meeting. Do you know when relationships are built? all that in-between time. Thank you very much.
Wow. Relationships are built in the in-between time. And we have robbed that in-between time by being stuck to our screens most of the time. Now, as I stand before you, I don't take a higher ground. Organizing my digital life is a battle for me. I don't think I've totally won yet, but I want to share my struggle with you so we are on the same page. So last couple of years, I've been discovering I'm spending more time on the phone. I have a lot of social media pages happening, Facebook, Twitter. They keep opening every month, so you need one more password each month. And you have all of these things happening around you in your life. And because you're in youth ministry, you need to be integrated into what's happening. So last year, I decided to do something, and still a struggle, but this is the journey. So I decided to have non-data hours. My data goes off, pop, it's off. Especially about 10, 11 in the night to 10 in the morning, no data. That means no WhatsApp, no emails, nothing. What's the advantage of it? Early morning when you wake up, instead of reflecting on what God wants to do, speak to you, if you get an email, your mind is actually tuned into how to respond to the email, how to respond to a message. But if you start off a day, you know what? I want to hear what God's word says. I want to hear what people around me are talking about. So one of my friends, his goal for this year, he is, just share that with you if that gives you an idea. He wants to have every Thursday as a non-phone day. What is he going to do? Whole day the phone is on airplane mode. Wow. So I don't know what's going to take for you to get into some habit of that nature. Now, some of us who have, how many of us have Facebook here? Let me just, that's good. Thank you so much. Welcome to our world. How many of us on Instagram? Okay, got it. How many of us on Twitter? What is Twitter? How many of us on Viber? So we have a lot of things happening around us, and sometimes I told our media team, we need to create an app which can synchronize all these social media pages together. So one place I post, it goes to all the places. But what's happening is it's every free time is taken up by the social media. Instead of speaking to people face to face, you're on Facebook. So what's happening? So about 4 months ago, I said, you know what? In a time of prayer, God convicted me, and because I've been married for the last 13 years, but the last 12 years married to Facebook also. It's been online for a long time. So 4 months ago, I decided I'm going to deactivate temporarily from all social media pages. So I did that, and nobody discovered it. Nothing happened. Life went on. I was still happy. You all were happy. But some of you said, Pastor, are you angry with me? You are not allowing me to tag you. Sorry. That's what happened. I just came back just to see, and nobody missed me. I mean, it's not that I got thousands of messages saying, you know what, we missed you. Nobody missed me. So all of us, as we start this year, we need to find out what's going to take to develop personal habits which is going to give you a full life. To successfully develop these personal habits, you cannot keep it private. You need to find at least two people. Share it in your care group. Share it with close friends close to you. So what is the secret to a happy new year? We have been wishing happy new year for some time. Well, I want you to look at this graphic. This is the secret to a happy new year. We all this while we thought it's just the habits up there. If I can have good habits, I'll be happy. But actually, we need all three. It's based on this unshakable hope in God. It's based on this insatiable hunger in God's mission. And when we do both of this, and then we develop these personal habits, you know what? We have the secret to a happy new year. As I close, I'll ask the band to come up. Famous, well-known story about two men who were in an art museum. And they came upon a painting of a chess game. One character looked like a man. The other character looked a lot like the devil. The man in this painting is down to his last few pieces on the chessboard. He's almost lost. The title of the chess, the painting says simply one word, checkmate. One of the two men, the two people who are looking at this painting, one of them was an international chess champion. And something about this painting intrigued him. He said, you know what? I just want to study this further. He began to study it. He became so engrossed that his friend said, you know what? We need to move on. He said, you know what? There's something about this painting that bothers me, and I want to study it for a little while. You go ahead and wander around. He studied it. His head started nodding. He was doing some calculations. When his friend came back, this chess champion said, you know what? We have to locate the guy who painted this picture and tell him that either he has to change the picture or he has to change the title. His friend asked, why, what's wrong with the painting? The man said, you know what? Well, it's titled Checkmate, but the title is wrong. The painter has to change the painting or change the title because the king has still one more move left. The king has one more move, and the game is not over yet. And as we prepare our hearts for the first communion of 2020 together, it's important that we remind ourselves that 2,000 years ago, Jesus was whipped, beaten. They mocked him and scorned him. They hung him on a cross to die, laid him low in a tomb to rot the way every human being has rotted ever since death entered this world. And then the dark world, the devil said to everybody, you know what, that's all, folks. Show is over. Time to go home. Checkmate. I have won. Jesus is dead. But they were wrong because the king still has one more move. King Jesus still has one more move. I don't know, as you begin 2020, what challenges you face today. Maybe there's a stress at home. Maybe you are in a relationship that is falling apart. Maybe there's a son or a daughter, somebody that you love who's struggling or separated from you. Maybe it's financial pressure. Maybe you did something which you feel guilty about. You said something you felt horrible about. Whatever you face, whether it's today or tomorrow, the promise of Jesus to everyone who puts their trust in him is this: there is hope. Even when it feels like checkmate, because the king still has one more move.
Thanks for listening to this message from AG Kolkata. We hope you would stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using @AGC Kolkata. We would love to know how this message has touched your life. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing us at stories@agkolkata.org. Hope you have a great week ahead.